You want something shipped? Whether it's a letter or whether it's a piano, they'll ship it, and they'll ship it right, and they'll ship it safe. You can count on Postal Connections at the Stein Mart Plaza on US 1 and 12th in Vero Beach, Florida. Postal Connections, right next to Publix, 12th and US 1. You can count on them to get that letter, get that piano, or anything else you need shipped. Get it there and get it safely and get it there right away. Postal Connections.
Palm Garden of Vero Beach is a health rehabilitation center where you're treated like a guest. Palm Garden on 37th is a provider of short and long-term care. Their professional staff will minimize the time you need to be away from your regular lifestyle. Palm Garden will restore your independence. A caring and compassionate staff will help reduce your need to return to the hospital. Newly renovated private suites allow you to recover with dignity and comfort. For more information, call Palm Garden Health Rehabilitation Center at 772-567-2443. That's 567-2443. Palm Garden, 567-2443.
It's 2:30 in the morning. Someone is trying to break in, but your security system from Complete Electric and Alarm is working. Your home's on lockdown, security cameras are rolling, and the authorities are already on their way. That's the security of Complete Electric and Alarm. The best security money can buy. Call 388-0533. That's 388-0533. Online at CompleteElectricInc.com. Complete Electric and Alarm, Florida's premier alarm service.
Are you in the mood for comfort food? Meat lasagna, ravioli, turkey with stuffing? During this difficult time, Olivia's has your back. We are here to support you with our delicious Italian and comfort food, available for takeout, curbside pickup, and free delivery through Vero Beach. We are also offering 5% off for everyone as a thank you. At Olivia's, we are Vero Beach strong, and we are here to help you. Located off Aviation Boulevard near Vero's airport entrance, call in your orders at 772-217-8797. Again, you can call us at 772-217-8797.
Your pet, I'm sure, is a loving member of your family. I know that kind of love. Is your pet living in pain? There's no need for your pet to live in pain. Dr. Amber is specially trained in canine rehab, physical rehabilitation, pain management, and end-of-life care for your pet, dog, cat, or whatever. To find out more about how the pet that gives you unconditional love can live pain-free, call Dr. Amber at 772-492-6066. 492-6066, that's tcanimalrehab.com. tcanimalrehab.com. Dr. Amber, 492-6066.
Good morning. This is Helen from the Wood and Spoon. And from all of us at the Wooden Spoon, we congratulate Rhett Palmer on his 25 years of on-air service. So after the show, join us at the Wooden Spoon for a great lunch or come in for a scrumptious breakfast. And now, here's the mayor of the airways, Rhett Palmer.
Good morning. It is I, the mayor of the airways, veteran journalist and celebrity interviewer Glenn Plaskin is on the line. Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Morning, Rhett. Wish I was down in Florida.
I wish you were, too. It's always nice to meet somebody face-to-face. Glenn, of course, is a personal friend of a lifelong friend of mine, Howie Schaefer, and you also are a friend of his for life, and I guess your sister went to school with Howie, huh?
Yeah, all the way dating back to high school.
Wow. Well, listen, so how are things in New York? What's the temperature in New York today?
Well, it's about 60 degrees, and it's a beautiful day. Let's hope that we get to better times.
Oh,
right?
yeah. Now, listen, Glenn, folks, has accolades from Trump, Tony Robbins. Actually, it's a list of who's. I could just go on and on and on. He wrote the biography of Vladimir Horowitz. I personally am very interested in his book, Turning Point, Pivotal Moments of Lives in America's Celebrities. It's quite and you're working on a new book, right? Katie, Up and Down the Hall, the true story of how one dog turned four neighbors into a family. Well, that sounds really cool. Is this just recently released?
It was a few years back. It was published. It's a story about my dog and about the power of family and proximity, that the people who are physically in most proximity to you, closest to you, are often the people who become closest to you, whether it's friends and neighbors and not just your biological family. So for anybody out there who loves dog stories, it's a rather heartwarming story about the relationship that develops between an 85-year-old woman down the hall from me, and further down the hall was a little 3-year-old kid who had a dad but no mom. And over a period of 16 years, the story's about what happens between the little boy, the dad, the grandmother, and me and my dog. And it takes you before, during, and after the events of 9/11.
Okay, so this is very exciting because this, you know, having gone through what we've just gone through with the COVID disease, this virus, they're saying that sales or adoptions of dogs are greater than ever before. So this is such an apropos time for your publisher probably to re-release this and promote it massively. Everybody loves a dog story anyway, don't they?
Well, yes, and, you know, a lot of dog lovers actually endorse the book, like Mariah Carey did, and Judge Judy, who loves dogs, and at the time she was alive, Joan Rivers and Calvin Klein, the designer, and Betty White. Betty White is a huge animal lover, and anybody out there who has it in their heart and has the time to adopt a dog, you know, it's a wonderful thing to do.
Yeah, okay. Well, one thing I want to talk about, too, is I know I saw you on Larry King's show years ago, and your book, Turning Point, Pivotal Moments of the Lives of America's Celebrities. I particularly remember, like, Sylvester Stallone. You said that his father used to beat him till he actually bled?
Yes, that's what he said. He had a very troubled childhood. You know, he was born with a botched birth and a speech impediment, and half of his tongue and his lip and his chin were paralyzed as a little kid, and he had a rather difficult childhood. But, you know, in this book about turning points, every single person out there, everybody who's listening to your show, each one of us has a story. We all have our ups and downs, you know, moments in our lives when everything seems to go wrong and reversals of fortune when things go right. And the idea of the book, and all the books I write now, is that it's all about storytelling. I always tell people that everybody has a book inside them, you know, just waiting to be written. I read somewhere that 81% of all Americans say that they want to write a book, but they never know how to get started. But I believe that everybody's got a story to tell, and it could be, you know, your autobiography. It could be a motivational guide, which I've written with motivational speakers. It could be a family history, which I'm doing now.
Tony Robbins, right? You worked with Tony Robbins.
I have worked with him, yes. It could be a family history. It could be a book about your company. But it could be anything. And it doesn't just have to be, you know, my specialty has been interviewing celebrities. Everybody's a celebrity in their own family, right? And so I believe people have a story to tell. For example, in the book, Dolly Parton talks about the time that she was so depressed that she was considering suicide. Joan Rivers talks about the day that her husband killed himself. And these stories, some of them are heavy, but the point of it is that everybody goes through a crisis, a turning point in life. And the real point of the book is, well, what did you learn from it, and how did you get through it? Because, you know, human beings are very flexible, and they're resilient, and they can bounce back again. And so that's the inspirational point of the book, is that no matter what your problem, even Larry King, when I was on his show, he was talking to me about when he had a health challenge, a heart attack, and how he had to change his lifestyle and what he learned from it. And even recently he's had health challenges. And so it's
turned his life around. Well, you know, I was reading his book. I got to meet him a couple of years ago out in L.A., and he and I have something very similar. As his son said in his book, he has, I don't know, ADD or ADA, whatever it is I have, and he has it too. And that means our minds can wander. But the other side of that is we have what's called hyper-focus. For instance, I'm talking to you now. You are my world because I have hyper focus. You know, if I get a group of people in here, I'm jumping all over the place. But today, you are my guest, and my whole job is to bring you to my listenership. So sometimes a negative can actually be a positive in disguise. What do the Greeks say? For every obstacle, there's an opportunity, right?
I really do believe that if you didn't have problems, you would never, you know, gain, you know, the strength and the insight you need. I mean, look at anybody in business, you know, business people, retired business people who live in Vero Beach. Everybody's gone through company ups and downs and the ebb and flow of currents. And, you know, nobody gets through life without challenges, whether it's health challenges, financial challenges, anything can happen. And I think it makes you stronger, right?
Let me ask you this. Okay, Glenn Plaskin, you yourself were on another road, and something happened to you that turned you, and you became a writer, and a very famous, successful writer. What happened to you? Where was your turning point, Glenn?
Well, I was studying to be a concert pianist, and I went to a conservatory of music for college for 9 years in a row. And so with just the tiniest quirk of fate, I would be teaching probably piano in a college. But when I was 26, I was so I was very nervous. I didn't feel comfortable performing, and I got kind of sick with a stomach ulcer kind of thing. And at that point, I decided to quit music. If I hadn't felt sick and if I had really enjoyed it, I never would have quit, right? But I had an idea. I quit music. I came to New York. I had no money, no contacts, no friends. But I had an idea. And the idea was to write a book about my favorite pianist, Vladimir Horowitz.
Uh-huh.
And I remember going to meet Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis, who at that point was not only our former first lady, but she was an editor at Doubleday Publishers.
So how did you get a FaceTime with Jacqueline Kennedy?
I called up her office on the phone. I swear to you, and I told the secretary why I was calling, that I'm writing a book. I always believe in the power of visualization. If you say you're doing something, you can do it. So I told them I was writing this book about the most famous concert pianist in the world at the time. And so she picked up the phone, amazingly. And there was that famous voice. Hello, Mr. Plaskin. It was very spine-chilling, I must tell you. And after I met her in person and 14 other publishers, I went to the William Morris Agency, an agent, and I said, I'm going to write this book about Horowitz. He said, well, what have you written? I said, nothing. He said, well, what do you have published? I said, nothing. He said, then what do you have? And I pulled out of my pocket a list of names. Well, to make a long story short, he sold the book amazingly, and suddenly I had a book contract. And it took 3 years, and it wasn't easy, but when the book was published, it wound up on the cover of the New York Times, the L.A. Times, the Washington Post, all over the place, because it seemed that it's not that anybody was interested in me.
No.
It's that they were all interested
in
Horowitz, which was the first book.
Well, I wonder, why were you the first guy to decide to do this? Your timing was immaculate.
Well, maybe sometimes in life there's just plain luck, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just had this, you know, desperation is the mother of invention.
Yes.
I was desperate. I had no money. I had to do something. And so I wrote this book. And then when the book was published, I got this beautiful letter from Mrs. Onassis telling me that she read the book and she hopes that we can work together on other projects. And ultimately we did get to know each other and work together. But after that happened, I decided, the agent said, well, would you like to write another book? I said, oh, no. After 3.5 years, I thought that was the worst thing I've ever done.
You were cured.
Right. And although I have written 10 books since, it didn't happen right away. What I did is I specialized in celebrity interviews. And the first one of them was Carol Burnett, and then that led to Calvin Klein, and it led to Mrs. Reagan, and eventually it's a little weird because I'm actually rather introverted, and every time I interview somebody, I would be extremely nervous. I mean, I remember the door opening, and there's Donald Trump or Meryl Streep or Al Pacino or Robert De Niro, and it's surreal because those are the people you see, you know, up on the screen. I remember the first time I met Elizabeth Taylor, she came down the stairs and came toward me, and she looked just like you would expect she would look at her best. And I said to her, the first thing I said is, oh, you have beautiful skin. And she said, would you like to touch it? I said, okay. So she put my hand on her face, and then I said, well, what's your secret? And she said, sesame oil. I put sesame oil all over my face.
Oh, man, I'm going to take a bath in sesame oil tonight.
Yes, we could all look younger. And then I said, well, is that the ring you're wearing? And, you know, she had this famous ring that was 33 carats. It was the Krupp diamond. And she said, yeah, would you like to see it? I said, okay.
Oh,
she just took it off her finger and tossed it across the room.
Sure.
And so that was the beginning of an interview. And, you know, most of these interviews get pretty in-depth and personal. People, after about 20 minutes, as you know from being such a veteran interviewer, you've interviewed hundreds and hundreds of people more than me, people eventually do drop their guards, and they want to tell you about their lives, don't they?
Yeah, but what I want to know is, what is your secret? I don't like to talk to people too much before I interview them because they'll do the interview before they're on the radio, and then they'll look at me like a frog in a rainstorm, blink, 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 when they're in the studio. But at the same time, you want to tell enough of a story so they can relate to you and that their guard comes down. I think people can tell pretty much, and I can tell about you. I've never met you face-to-face yet. That's the first time I've heard your voices this morning. But is that, you know, if somebody's sincere and you know they're not out to do you harm, the walls will come down. And so how did you have any specific technique that you would use? I hate to say that because, you know, when you can fake sincerity, that's when you really got it made, right?
Well, honestly, I think I always avoided direct questions, especially at the beginning of the interview.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a good interview should be a conversation. Nobody wants to be pummeled with questions.
Mm.
And so I always went in prepared, like if it was a new movie from Al Pacino, I would see the movie, I would study it, I would have all the questions ready, but then I would just start a conversation. Nobody wants confrontation. They want conversation. And so the more you make somebody feel comfortable naturally, the more likely they are to open up to you when you get deeper into the interview. I remember having lunch with Diana Ross once, and she was known to be a very difficult interview, very closed kind of person, hypersensitive. And during this interview, we got into the discussion of her disappointment in why after the movie Lady Sings the Blues she never became a full-fledged film star.
Mm.
And she started crying a bit. She felt deeply sad about certain things that didn't go her way, although so many things did go her way. And here we're sitting at lunch with, you know, one of the biggest stars in pop music, and she had let her guard totally down in a very human way. And that has happened to me over.
Hold on. Now you have to tell us why did she start to cry when she started to talk about Lady Sings the Blues?
It wasn't about the movie. It was about the fact that there were certain things in her career that never went the way she wanted. Her film career after that movie didn't really go anywhere after that.
Now, she's the only one, too, that after you did the interview, she elected to not have her interview in the book Turning Point. Any reason why?
I don't know, but everybody had their choice. It was a good interview, and she liked it, but maybe she didn't want to be in a collection of other interviews.
All right. I want to ask you this. This is very important to me. Now, you and I presume that you're a star lover. I know I always have fawned over the rich and famous. I want to know what makes them, you know, perk, just about them. And, you know, and down, being down here in a very affluent community, I have a lot of friends that are billionaires with a B, a lot of multimillionaires, very successful people. They're not about the money. They're about their success. So, of course, there are those that inherit money. Generally, they don't have the humility because they didn't go through the process of earning it. But I want to ask you, like, if there are certain threads that you notice in very successful people. I'll tell you one that I see, and it is and I realize I've lacked it, but it's humility. I think King Solomon wrote that God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble, that humility is before riches, honor, and life. And I'm shocked at sometimes the kindness and the humility of very, very successful people. Have you noticed that too?
Well, yes, oftentimes I'm working right now with a client who lives at the Ocean Reef Club in Florida, two of them, and one of them, they're both very successful people. One of them is a rather well-known Wall Street figure, and another one owns steel factories, and both of them come from very humble beginnings. One of them grew up in an orphanage, was raised by neither parent, and ultimately pulled himself up, went to the university, and became, you know, very successful on Wall Street. So I do notice oftentimes,
yeah,
you know, famous people usually come from unfamous parents,
yep,
in modest homes, and but there is this burning something inside them that's ambition. And, you know, ambition isn't always humble. People who are driven, they have to be strong. And so I notice also there's they have an iron spine. And one of the things I've been doing in the last 5 years is that people come to me with their stories. And, you know, I work with them to find out what their story is about, what is their purpose, what is their vision, and how could telling their story in a book, you know, inspire other,
sure,
people.
Sure. Now, listen, hold on. Glenn, we're out of time for right now. Can you stick around for another half an hour?
If you want me to.
Okay, Glenn Plaskin is his name. What's your website, Glenn?
It's ghostwriteyourbook.com.
Ghostwriteyourbook.com.
Right.
And he's written for the New York Times, the Daily News, San Francisco Chronicle, Los Angeles Times, Chicago Tribune, Family Circle, U.S. Weekly, Ladies Home Journal, Cosmopolitan. It just goes on and on. He's worked with Meryl Streep, Al Pacino, Katherine Hepburn, Nancy Reagan, Bill Gates, Calvin Klein. We'll be back. This is the Mayor of the Airwaves. Who loves you, baby?
Ocean's Cafe is the cafe in the mall you've been hearing about. Located in the Indian River Mall next to Macy's, Ocean's Cafe is home to a cozy atmosphere, the fastest Wi-Fi around. It is equipped to handle all of your coffee needs. Our menu items are made to order, and our coffee beans are one of a kind, roasted just for us. Ocean's Cafe is open Tuesday through Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We serve fresh gourmet lunches and salads. Grab-and-go breakfast and lunch items are available throughout the day for your convenience. So stop by and see us, the cafe in the mall.
You're not just a number, you're a neighbor. So says my friend Edward Perkins, owner and pharmacist at Perkins Compounding Pharmacy out on Route 60, 20th Street, here in Vero Beach, Florida. Now, they have complimentary delivery service, personalized compounding. They accept most insurance plans and workers' comp, free delivery and free flavoring for pediatric medications, okay? Now, this is Perkins, and this is my friend Edward Perkins. It's just south of the Taco Bell, no, just east of the Taco Bell, right here in Vero Beach on Route 60. Okay, Perkins Compounding Pharmacy, my friend Edward Perkins, where you're not just a number, you're our neighbor. 978-6470, 772-978-6470, Perkins.
Hi, I'm Joel Molinari. Our team at Molinari Pools has been serving the wonderful people of Indian River County since 1996. Whether you need cleaning and maintenance, a pool pump, a heater, safety products, or a complete pool remodel, our team of professionals is ready to serve you. When you're ready for the best experience in the pool industry, call my team, and I'm proud to say they're the service pros at Molinari Pools. Let our family serve yours by calling us at 778-2633.
Recycling plastic bottles, jugs, and containers is a good thing, but thin plastic wrap, plastic shopping bags, and hoses should never be placed in your recycling cart. Why? They get jammed up in the machinery and have to get cut loose. So instead, throw away those hoses in the garbage and bring plastic shopping bags and thin plastic wrap to a collection bin at a local grocery store or to a designated wrap container at one of the 5 customer convenience centers. To learn more about recycling in Indian River County, visit ircrecycles.com.
Hi, my name is Dr. Jeff Stepanek. I'm a chiropractor, and I help people like you get relief from living in pain. I love helping people like you. So I have an introductory offer that makes your first visit very affordable. For $25, you will receive a full examination, x-rays if necessary, your first treatment would be included, and a full report on your findings. You'll love our staff, and they'll love you. The name of the office is Sebastian Chiropractic, and the phone number is 772-388-1148. That's 772-388-1148.
You are listening to the Mayor of the Airways.
Skin cancer is no laughing matter. You should have a full body scan every year at Treasure Coast Dermatology with Dr. Tim Ioannidis over on 37th. That's right. Take care of yourself, and your skin will take care of you.
Your home can look beautiful. For all your landscape needs, call Brian Mosley at Lawnscape Innovations. Brian owns a tree farm locally and has designed lawnscapes for the better homes in Vero Beach. Brick pavers, irrigation, nursery, and waterfalls. Call Mr. Brian Mosley at Landscape Innovations, 772-216-3398. That's 772-216-3398. Write down his number now and call him now, 772-216-3398. You'll be glad you did.
It's always a good time to experience the Tides famous restaurant. Your table is waiting fine dining on Cardinal Drive. Pan-seared scallops, flash-fried calamari, pan crab cakes. Try the watermelon or their famous pear salad. Peppercorn crusted filet mignon, veal scallopini, pan-seared crusted grouper, crisp duck, cedar plank salmon. Wine Spectator Award of Excellence, Zagat rated the Tides on Cardinal. Reservations highly suggested.
This is Carol Jean Jordan, your tax collector here in Indian River County. Did you know that you can save time and money by paying with an electronic check on our website? We call these e-checks, and they are super easy to use. All you need is your routing and account numbers. You can renew your vehicle, vessel, or mobile home registration, or pay your property tax bill without incurring any additional fees. To pay by e-check, visit our website, irctax.com. That's irctax.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you know someone who's searching for a new home in Vero Beach, Florida? You have got to see this house. You've just got to see it. Bob McNally and his family is Palm Coast Development Corporation, and Palm Coast Development Corporation, building to a higher standard, is the McNally family. I've known them for over 20 years. Tell us about the new home that's available to see right now in Riamar.
Well, we're lucky enough to be located in Riamar Bay. And we were able to take an old house and, unfortunately, knock it down. But the lot is beautiful, as it has afforded us to build a house that is 118 feet wide, which is highly unusual. So we have a house that's about 4,200 square feet under air, has a golf cart garage, two-car garage, and 125 feet on the water with brand-new dock. The Decor's by Jacqueline, my wife's company, is responsible for all the interior appointments, the design of the kitchens, the colors, and so forth. It's been a labor of love, and it's just a magnificent house. We're very fortunate to have been developing it.
Okay, what's your website and what's your phone number here, Bob?
My phone number is 794-9105.
And they can find you at Zillow, right?
That is correct. We're on Zillow.
Under Palm Coast Development Corporation, building to a higher standard.
It's nice to go out and get good food that's affordable, and it's a restaurant and bar where everybody knows your name. Friends and family-oriented, John Bono, like Sonny, but no relation, welcomes you to Center City Pizza Tavern at South Vero Square. 40 huge TVs, 4 super huge big screen TVs for all sports action. Line dancing, some nights karaoke, trivia night on Wednesday, authentic Philly cheesesteaks with the Amoroso rolls being shipped in, actually delivered from Philadelphia, featuring Saucy Pig famous chicken wings, smoked ribs on Friday, pulled pork every night, Center City Pizza Tavern, South Vero Square. South Vero Square, tell them the mayor sent you.
Thanks, Rhett. And during this trying time of this pandemic, Center City Tavern is offering takeout and some delivery service. Call them at 772-569-3336 for more detail.
Good morning. This is Chuck Cannon from CJ Cannon's Restaurant. I'm a 25-year sponsor of this program. We wish to congratulate Rhett Palmer on his 25 years of on-air service. So after the show, join us at CJ Cannon's for a great lunch, a great breakfast, or a scrumptious dinner. Here's the mayor of the airways, Rhett Palmer.
We continue our conversation with veteran journalist, author, biographer Glenn Plaskin, who's calling in from New York City, New York, New York. How are you doing, Glenn?
Great. How are you today?
It's a beautiful day in paradise down here. He did the biography, of course, of Vladimir Horowitz. That was his starting point. Then he wrote a book called Turning Point, and it was quite a book. You've written for New York Times, The Daily News, San Francisco Chronicle, Los Angeles Times, Chicago Tribune, Family Circle, U.S. Weekly, Ladies' Home Journal, Cosmopolitan. Wow. I mean, this all started. You were a pianist, and you were going to go for that. What altered your initial vocation?
Right. I was studying to be a classical, concert pianist. I went to a conservatory of music for 9 years. I got a bachelor degree, a master degree, and I was working on a doctoral degree. So I was really committed to it. And then when I was about 26, I always believed that everybody has more than one career in them. Mm-hmm. We're not just one thing.
True.
And a decision that you might make early in life as a teenager isn't necessarily the right decision for the rest of your life, right? And so when I was about 25, I was really tired of the music thing. I could just envision myself spending the rest of my life practicing in a room, and I didn't want to do that. I thought I had something else in me. I wasn't sure what it was. But anyway, I had an idea for a book, and I had no writing experience. I had never published anything. I had never even written a college paper, because when you're in a conservatory of music, you don't do much except practice the piano. And so I came to New York with an idea, which was to write a book. And I always think that what makes you most successful isn't necessarily your skill level at the time you're doing it. It's how determined you are to do it. And I could see myself looking backward as extremely determined. As I said earlier, desperation is the mother of invention. And I needed a job, so I did go to 15 different publishers with my idea, and they were interested, including Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis, who was a Doubleday editor. And ultimately, the book was sold. It took about 3 years. And when it came out, it was a total change of life for me. I mean, imagine, one minute I was a student in college, and suddenly I have a book that's on the front page of the New York Times and the Washington Post and the LA Times and the London Times. I mean, it was life-changing for me. And it's a 600-page book with 2,000 footnotes, and it was the first book ever written about Vladimir Horowitz, a very serious book.
Wow, 600 pages?
Yeah, it's good for lifting weights. And so after it was published, that's when I started to get into interviewing celebrities. And I did that for many years in newspapers and magazines. And I had the privilege of meeting, some of the all-time favorites that I had seen, in movies like Elizabeth Taylor, Katharine Hepburn, Audrey Hepburn, almost anyone you can imagine. I also went to the White House and interviewed Mrs. Reagan twice, and it was really quite exciting meeting all those people, because I was from Buffalo, New York. I always got very poor grades in elementary school. The principal told my mom when I was a little boy that garbage collectors can be happy too.
He actually said that.
Yeah.
Oh my word.
Yeah, I wrote a whole column about it once, and I had a low IQ, I got poor grades, and the principal told my mom that garbage collectors could be happy too. And when I wrote a column about that years later that was published, I got a letter from the actress Katharine Hepburn, and all she said in the letter was, "Good for you." And we had a joke. I did so much with so little.
Well, no, but listen, but, they say, be kind to your A students, the academics. Be kind, because they will end up teaching your children. But be even nicer to your C students, because they're the ones that are going to leave money to the foundation. You know, there was this guy that went to he went to school, and they sent him home with a note, and he gave it to his mother.
Uh-huh.
And the mother said, he said, "What does it say? What does it say?" "Well, it says that you're just too smart for the class, and I'm going to have to keep you home, and I'm going to have to raise you." Well, that turned out to be Thomas Edison. And years later, after his mother died, he found the actual note, and it said, "We're sorry. We believe your son is mentally retarded, and you're going to have to keep him at home to train him." So he said, "My mother took an idiot and made a genius out of him."
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we all perform differently at different stages in our lives,
mm-hmm.
and there are emotional reasons often why children do not test well or perform well. And so later in life, I honestly think that was the whole key to interviewing celebrities for me, is that I bring to the interview my own vulnerability. I am honestly interested in what they're going to say.
Yes.
And I think they somehow trusted me in enough to tell me. I mean, I did long interviews. My Donald Trump interview was done over a period of many weeks, and it was a 10 or 11 hour interview with him.
Oh, my word. Each time?
No, the total amount of hours interviewed him was a long time, and I did I did his interviews with him three times, and plus interviews with his wife, Ivana Trump, and then two interviews with his second wife, Marla Maples. So in an interview like that, when you get to know somebody repeatedly, they get more and more comfortable with you, you know?
Yes. The guard comes down, and they can also smell the fragrance of sincerity on your part.
Well, curiosity. I don't even, there's not even any question about whether I'm sincere. I'm sincerely interested in knowing what they have to say, and also I would often push them. They would be fooled by my easygoing demeanor up until I got to the harder questions, and I was just as capable of pushing world figures, whether it was Leona Helmsley, Donald Trump, Adnan Khashoggi, all kinds of Malcolm Forbes. I would ask hard questions when I was ready to, and they would answer them. So it wasn't just superficial stuff. We would go pretty deep. And I remember once this actor, Leslie Nielsen, said to me, "Gee, I didn't know I was going to go to therapy today."
That sounds just like something he would say. Let me ask you this. You were on the, of course, you've been on the Larry King Show. I remember seeing that, the Today Show, Oprah. Now, here I am, an old white guy, you know. You wouldn't think it. I don't know why. I just absolutely love Oprah. Matter of fact, I was with one of her good friends just this morning, and he talks to her. He's a famous gospel singer. He talks to her every week, and I keep bugging him, "Please, please, I just want her to know that I'm alive." But what was it like being on the Oprah show?
Well, she did an entire show about my book.
No.
That's great. Yes, the book is called Turning Point, Pivotal mm-hmm. Moments in the Lives of America's Celebrities. And the idea of the book was that everybody goes through a turning point or a crisis. Everybody. It could be your health. It could be your career. It could be your love life. It could be anything. But everybody has problems, right? And so my simple idea was that I would interview 120 celebrities about what their crisis was, how they overcame it, and what they learned from it. And so Oprah did a whole show on it, and the producer told me I should bring along some of the people from the book. So I brought along Angie Dickinson, the actress, who came in from California. I brought Rod Steiger, the actor.
Wow.
I brought along Marla Maples, who at the time was with Donald Trump. And I brought along Annette Funicello. And it was quite a strange dinner party, wasn't it?
A strange dinner party.
And we were all flown to Chicago, and then there was Oprah. And you can watch it if you go to YouTube and just type in my name, Glenn, G-L-E-N-N, Plaskin, P-L-A-S-K-I-N. You can watch the whole show. And it was really exciting. I remember she asked me a question about Leona Helmsley, and she asked me, if you remember, at that time, Leona Helmsley was this billionaire real estate
who said only the little people pay taxes.
And she was, you know, about to go to jail, and Oprah said to me, "Well, what did Leona tell you?" And all I said to her was, "Let me out." And she laughed, the audience laughed, and we went to commercial break. But it was a great experience. She was just a very, you know, one of her greatest skills is empathy and compassion.
Yes.
And
but let me ask you this now. You know, Oprah, if she endorses a book, you know, it shoots to the top. You know, just like My Life in Little Teeny Tiny Pieces, which she later found out that the guy was not all there about his addictions, and but he nonetheless it made him he made I don't know $100 million off of it. Never has to work another day in his life. Did this catapult your book into a bestseller? I hope.
Well, the book did well. At this time, this is before Oprah had the book club. Later, she had the book club. So she didn't promote the book as much as she promoted the idea that we all have these turning points we go through. And I honestly think that's a universal idea. Even today, you know, my business today is largely writing books for prominent people. It could be a business person, a celebrity, a motivational speaker, a religious leader. But that's what I do. And it's all about storytelling. And inevitably, in every one of these books, these people tell me about things that happened in their lives that went wrong. There's no successful person who hasn't had a lot of things that went wrong and went right. And I find it really interesting. I was telling you earlier about a gentleman who's a his name is Ed Hajim, H-A-J-I-M. He's a resident of Florida, and he has been on Wall Street for many years, and he was raised in orphanages during his entire childhood. He didn't have a mother, and he didn't have a father who was raising him. And later, how does someone who grows up with no money, no advantages, no opportunities, gets a scholarship to the University of Rochester and then goes to Harvard Business School, winds up being hugely successful on Wall Street? How did he do it? Well, I think, you know, you have a lot of listeners who are very successful people who have not yet told their stories, mm-hmm. you know. And for their legacy, for their families, for history, I think it's fascinating for these people to tell their story. And that's why I always tell everybody that everybody has a book inside them, you know, just waiting to be written. And, you know, my job is to get the story out of the person. So oftentimes people will say to me, well, how can I write a book? I can't write. And I said, oh, you don't have to. I said, can you talk? Well, if they can talk, you know, if they can tell you their story, then all they have to do is talk to me. And what I do is, you know, I record all the interviews just as you would. They're all transcribed. And then over a period of 6 to 8 months, I weave it all together into a complete book. And then we go back and forth with the edits. It's a creative, collaborative process. But at the end, you have a, you know, 250 or 300-page book, which is ready to go on Barnes & Noble, Amazon. It can be sold as a hardcover, a paperback, an e-book, an audiobook. And it has many purposes. Some people just want to write a book because they want a record of what happened in their life. Other people want it for their legacy, for their children and grandchildren. Other people also want to sell it. I have a client right now who just published a book called Knocking Doors Down. He owns the largest sweet potato farm in the United States, and he's a recovering drug addict. And he wanted to write a book as a cautionary tale so that kids in schools and college kids could read about somebody who struggled with drugs and how they overcame it. And so all the money from the book is going to his foundation. That's a great reason to write a book, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I tell you what, it's just simply amazing. You know, I told you that I go down to Palm Beach sometimes. And you know, is it named Lemke or Larry Lemke? Larry Lemke. Anyway, he wrote a book. He wrote a book recently. And it was on Donald Trump and Mar-a-Lago, right? He came on my show. I don't know who heard it. But 5 days later, Trump said he was non, what do you call it? When you're not invited somewhere.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Donald Trump, I've known him for many, many years.
Yeah.
And he is a complicated person.
Mm.
He's highly intelligent. He's very strategic. I think, you know, when I met him and knew him, he was, of course, you know, largely a real estate tycoon, you know, with his casinos in Atlantic City. He owned the Plaza Hotel. At one point, he bought Eastern Airlines.
Are you allowed to tell me which book you wrote for him?
I didn't write any book for him.
Oh.
I know. I interviewed him numerous times for magazines.
Oh.
The best known interview I did is in Playboy magazine, and the Playboy magazine cover is framed in gold in his office. That's how much he liked the interview.
Wow, that's great, man. He'll remember you. If you wanted Entree now, you could probably get it again.
Oh, he knows me. When he sent me an autographed copy of the magazine from the White House, so yes.
Oh, come on, that's great.
Well, you know, I'm not political. I'm not saying
I understand. You don't
support
have to
support or don't support him, and I'm not a political commentator. But as a human being, I had many, many meetings with him, and I think who would have guessed that he would have gone from where he was to where he is? And the New York Times a few years ago wrote an article called Between the Pages, and they went back to my Playboy interview, and they said that all his positions that he holds today in terms of foreign policy and domestic policy, many of those were foreshadowed in the interview.
Isn't that amazing? You walked into history with that.
Well, a little bit.
A little bit. That's great, man.
And the New York Times actually showed a graph of what he said to me in 1990 and what he believes now. And if you go back and forth between the interview and what he believes now, all you have to do is just look up Donald Trump Playboy interview and you'll see it. And it's interesting how he was very consistent in many of his beliefs. And so I never expected when I knew him. There I was up in his helicopter with him. Who would have ever thought one day he'd be the president?
Yeah, I know. Well, listen, I want to ask you something. So you're kind of stuck inside in Manhattan, right?
Well, we're not in jail, but we can go out for a walk. But New York City is a high-risk city.
Let me ask you this. This is the point, though. We got 30 seconds to the end of this hour. You want to stick around and continue talking?
Oh, it's totally up to you.
Oh, I'm up for it, man. I'm enjoying this thoroughly. So we're going to continue. We're talking with Glenn Plaskin, and the way he makes a living is, of course, by writing books. If you want him to, if he can open up his schedule, it's very busy, but he does have openings from time to time. Glenn, if somebody wants to get in touch with you for you to write their biography, what would that be?
All they have to do, if you want to write a book, is go to ghostwriteyourbook.com. That's G-H-O-S-T, like the ghost, ghostwriteyourbook.com. Or you can just go to glennplaskin.com, and all the information is there. You can write me an email with your idea. You can contact me by phone, whatever you like.
Sounds wonderful. Okay, listen, let's take a break, and then we're going to come back on the other side of the news and continue this great interview with Glenn Plaskin. This is the mayor of the airwaves. Who loves you, baby?
The Minutemen answered the call during the American Revolution. Now, Minuteman Press answers the call with custom print and design services designed to promote your business like nobody's business. They lead the charge, but never overcharge, for great design, print, and promotional materials. Minuteman Press in Vero Beach and now in Port St. Lucie. Ready to answer the call? Google Minuteman Press or visit PSLMinutemanPress.com.
Palm Garden of Vero Beach is a health rehabilitation center where you're treated like a guest. Palm Garden on 37th is a provider of short and long-term care. Their professional staff will minimize the time you need to be away from your regular lifestyle. Palm Garden will restore your independence. A caring and compassionate staff will help reduce your need to return to the hospital. Newly renovated private suites allow you to recover with dignity and comfort. For more information, call Palm Garden Health Rehabilitation Center at 772-567-2443. That's 567-2443. Palm Garden, 567-2443. You know, you're going to be sleeping a third of your life. One third of your life, you are going to sleep. You need to be nice to your body. You want a great mattress. Yes, I want a great mattress. I want a great mattress. We all want a great mattress. I have a great mattress. You know where I got my great mattress? Well, let me put it this way. There's a mattress store on every single corner today. How do I know which mattress store to go to? You listen to the mayor of the airwaves because I'm looking out for you. Who loves you, baby? It's me. And I tell you what, Mattress Market's on US 1, right next to Waves Car Wash. The Melissick family have been in the business for 35 years. Mom, Dad, the four kids, they run the business. It's Mattress Market on US 1. You will, first of all, Steve can tell you which mattress suits you. There's all kinds of mattresses today. You'll sleep better, you'll sleep healthy, and you'll love the folks at Mattress Market on US 1, right next to Waves Car Wash. Tell them the mayor of the airwaves sent you. Who loves you, baby?
Do you have a home that requires professional property management? Hi, I'm Greg Bracken, owner of Bracken Property Services, LLC, Vero Beach. I provide a peace of mind ensuring successful, conscientious property management. Call me, licensed and insured, 772-473-1317. References of distinction available upon request. 473-1317. Please call 473-1317.
There's a great restaurant in Oslo run by a beautiful young family. Mike is the chef and the father and the husband. How you doing, Mike?
Doing well. How are you doing, Rhett?
I'm doing okay. Now, you have a special situation right now with this virus going around. What are you offering here at the Wooden Spoon on Oslo?
We're offering pickup and delivery and curbside service. If you call us at 772-217-3132, we can get your order ready and we'll bring it out to the side of the curb for you as well. Once you pull up to the front of the restaurant.
Delicious sandwiches that you'll love. They're healthy and they taste good. Also, homemade soups every day. Again, what's your phone number out here, Mike?
772-217-3132.
And that's, of course, the Wooden Spoon on Oslo on 20th, I think it is, right?
20th and Oslo Road.
I know you want to have a beautiful smile. Well, an examination, radiographs, a healthy cleaning would normally be well over $200, gosh. Right now, for $79, you can call Plains Dental Arts, 231-6004. It's all included for $79, the examination, the radiographs, the healthy cleaning. Okay, call Plains Dental Arts. Make your appointment right now, 772-231-6004. Takes care of gingivitis, takes care of...
As the body's largest organ, skin is the great protector. Skin cancer is the most common of all cancers. Protect the health of your skin with regular exams by a board-certified dermatologist. Specializing in the treatment of skin cancer, Treasure Coast Dermatology has offices in Martin, St. Lucie, and Indian River counties, with their newest location in Vero Beach. Call toll-free 877-870-DERM. That's 877-870-3376.
At Indian River Habitat for Humanity, our work has always been on behalf of our community. Right now, our community, our state, and our country are practicing social distancing to honor our president's request to combat the COVID-19 pandemic. For that reason, we are announcing that our Habitat Restore on North US 1 in Vero Beach will be closed through April 30th. This closure will ensure that our staff, volunteers, those who come in to donate goods, those from whom we pick up donations, and our customers will be protected from coming into contact or spreading this highly infectious disease. In the meantime, we hope and pray that your families will remain healthy and safe as we await the anticipated reopening of our restore doors on May 1st. Thank you, and may God bless you.
Located in a quiet corner of beautiful Vero Beach, Florida, the Mare Vero Beach exemplifies fine dining by providing exquisite culinary delights with a unique ambiance that can only be found here. The Mare Vero Beach serves only the finest in gourmet French and Italian cuisine. Fly across the seas of the Atlantic and Mediterranean with the tastes of Paris, Milan, and Venice, Nice. The Mare Vero Beach's management, staff, and cooks are dedicated to making your visit an exceptional dining experience. We believe the chef's old-world cooking ways are superb. Old world cooking requires a little more time, so your patience is greatly appreciated. Come join us at the Mare Vero Beach, where French and Italian cuisine take flight. Reservations recommended. Call 772-234-2809. Located at 1517 Ocean Drive. During this trying time of the pandemic, Damari is offering takeout 5 to 8:30 p.m. Call them at 772-234-2809.
Good morning. This is Dr. Alex Plains of Plains Dental Arts, sponsor of the mayor. We wish to congratulate Rep Palmer on his 25 years of on-air service. So for all the finest dental work at a reasonable price, see us at Plains Dental Arts, located in Pelican Plaza. And now, here's the mayor of the airways, Rep Palmer.
This is the mayor of the airwaves. How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? Another beautiful day in paradise. And on the line, we continue our conversation with Glenn Plaskin. Glenn Plaskin, of course, has written books for very famous people, and including the Donald Trump. And you actually spent multiple hours with Donald. He's a fascinating interview, isn't he, Glenn?
Oh, it's nice to be with you here today. Just to correct you, I did not write a book for or with Donald Trump ever. I interviewed Donald Trump for magazines and newspapers. So
well, that's pretty good. But you spent a lot of time with him.
Yes. I first met him in 1988 backstage at the Phil Donahue Show. And I just walked right up to him and I said, "Hello, Mr. Trump." I said, "I work for the New York Daily News and we'd like to do a cover story with you." He said, "Call my office." And that was the first meeting.
Cool.
And I called his office, and that began a relationship that went on for a number of years.
Well, but tell the story about Playboy. He liked his interview in Playboy so much that it's embronzed in gold on the White House on the Oval Office.
It's framed in gold, and it's in his Trump Tower office, not his White House office.
Well, either or, it doesn't matter.
But he liked it, and it's a wide-ranging interview that was challenging to him. He talks about his childhood. He talks about what happened to him as a young man. He talked about how he began, and then he talked about his vision for creating an empire. A lot of the things that you hear from him today, you can see foreshadowed, you know, in this interview. It was the longest interview with him ever done. It went on for more than 10 hours over a period of 6 weeks. So it was a pretty extensive interview. In fact, there's a CNBC TV documentary coming out in the fall about, it's called The Titans of the 80s, and Donald Trump and Leona Helmsley are included, and my interview about Donald Trump will be in that documentary.
Now, wait a second. How did you end up in his helicopter?
Oh, it was part of the assignment. I was supposed to follow him around. Wherever he went, I went. So one day he told me he was flying to Atlantic City. The helicopter would land on the roof of one of his casinos. So all I did was meet him at the heliport in New York, and we went up in the Trump helicopter. It was just me and Donald Trump and the pilot and the steward. And we landed on the roof of the hotel, and then I came back. And we did part of our Playboy magazine interview in the helicopter.
That's really cool, man. That's just so cool. You wanted to be a pianist, and you actually studied for, 9 years? Let's see, 9 years studying to become a concert pianist, and yet you decided that you were finishing a doctoral degree at the Peabody Conservatory, and suddenly you realized you just didn't want to be in a room teaching piano students for the rest of your life.
No, you know, I always tell people now, you know, think big. Don't think small.
Mm.
If you have a dream, as weird as it may be, you might be able to make it come true. When I was a kid, after the Kennedy assassination, I became fascinated with Jacqueline Kennedy. I so admired her even as a kid. And I just thought she was the most fascinating, the most glamorous, the most mysterious woman in the world, you know? And I told myself, I want to meet her one day. It took years, but after I quit the piano and came to New York, you know, one day I literally called up her office and I asked to speak to her. And she picked up the phone and I told her about my book idea, which was to write a biography about the most famous pianist in the world at that time, Vladimir Horowitz. No book had ever been written about him, and I had the music credentials to possibly do it.
Yes.
That was the connection, is that I understood the musical part of it, but I had no writing experience. And by the way, she did not buy the book from me. It was another publisher who bought it. But after the book was published, I sent a copy over to her as a gift, and she wrote me back a letter that I have on my office wall. And she wrote me, part of the letter says, "I know you devoted so much of your time and effort to this project, and I trust that seeing the finished book has given you a great sense of accomplishment. I'm sure it'll be as successful as your expectations. Thank you so much for thinking of me. I would very much like to talk with you about future ideas you may have. Sincerely, Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis."
Yeah.
Well, I was thrilled. Here I was, just a penniless pianist, trying to make it as a student. And then 3.5 years later, there I had a book.
That's amazing.
And the book was really a passport to adventure. And sometimes people ask me, well, I have a woman who's the CEO of a multinational corporation in Canada. She's the head of a company called Diva International. They make a product for women, a menstrual product for women that's sold around the world in 30 countries. And she just finished her book, and it's a great book. It's about how two women could build a corporation in a man's world. And I always tell people, if you want to write a book, you do it for basically two reasons. You know, a lot of your listeners in Vero Beach, they've already had full lives and full careers. They may want to write a book about their lives, for their family legacy. Like, how did you do it? How did you build your company?
Well, the Hindus have a saying, and it's a very important saying. What is given is gained. What is kept is lost.
Yes.
Is lost forever.
Yes. And so you don't want to leave the world with your story untold. Everybody has a story to tell, and I believe that it's in them. And not everybody wants to write a book, but for those who do want to do it, you know, it can be a great contribution to your family and to the world. For business people, I always say a book is like a billboard. You know, it's your portable, tangible calling card. You
okay.
know? It can be sold or given away.
Right. Like I said, you do a brochure, it's going to get thrown out. You give somebody a book, it'll be on the coffee room table. Then it might be moved over to the bathroom. Then it might be moved out into the garage. And then they go, well, we're cleaning out the garage 10 years later. You go, well, I can't throw this out. It's a book. Let's give it to the Salvation Army to sell. So it has a longevity, you know, that others don't need.
Do you want to hear something weird?
Yes.
When I was backstage at Oprah Winfrey show, when
yeah.
she did a show about my book Turning Point, the actor Rod Steiger and I were backstage together. And I gave him an autographed copy of my book, right?
Mm-hmm.
Years later, he died, and on Amazon, one day, I decided to buy back some collectible books. I didn't know. I just bought my own copies of my own book. And when they mailed it to me, it was the Rod Steiger book that his estate had put up, and I wound up with his book. Isn't that strange? So that book floated around through the universe and wound up back with me after he passed away. But anyway, tell people a book is your billboard. You know, it's your tangible calling card. And it also gives you instant credibility. Once you write a book, you get what I call like a halo effect. Your credibility and your prestige go up.
Yes.
And also a book leads to media appearances, like appearing on your show.
Yes.
As a recognized expert, you know, in your field. And you do interviews on television, radio, newspapers, podcasts, that kind of thing. And it can also promote your speaking career. It can generate business leads. It provides clarity of your brand. It even allows you to command higher fees. So for those who write a book, you may not do it necessarily to make money, but the value of the book is invaluable.
Well, It is simply amazing. I told you that this morning I was with a friend of mine. He is a billionaire, but he started out as an orphan. And and the reason I bring this up continually, people are like, "Why are you boasting that you have friends that are billionaires?" I got a number of them that are, And maybe I am boasting because I'm real proud of them. I love success stories and people come up from the bottom. He had nothing. And he has an eighth grade education. And that's when I tell people, and maybe I shouldn't because you make yourself vulnerable to stupid people and then they mock you. I only have an eighth grade education. My parents got a divorce. I ended up in a bad side of town, and they were just throwing spitballs and having fun. I said, this is just a glorified babysitting practice. So I waited until I was 16. I went and got my GED. I'm 17 years of age. I'm in college. Why, my friends are still in high school. So I think it's a great story, you know. I got some kind of a degree. I forget, like a two-year degree, and then I did some studying here and there. But the point is, I like to encourage people that, you know, look at Abraham Lincoln. That guy did a little reading on the side, and I think it paid off, right?
Well, listen, one of my favorite all-time interviews is with Tony Robbins, who's the most famous, highest-paid motivational coach in the world. And I interviewed him for Family Circle magazine, and then I interviewed him for Playboy magazine. And this guy has an incredible story. He never went to college at all. He barely graduated high school. And he had an innate gift, and his gift was to talk to people and motivate them and energize them. And, you know, his most famous book is Awaken the Giant Within.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's the whole key to success. Everybody has something within them that is great. Everybody.
Yes. I tell people that all the time. You might find an old black man who has his teeth missing sitting beneath a palm tree. Well, you go up and spend some time, you're going to find that guy's got some wisdom. Each of us knows something that the other one, like you know stuff that I will never know in my lifetime. So by spending time with you, I can glean that. But I got stuff, I know stuff that you'll never know. We all have our giftings, and nobody should dismiss anybody else, and we should all give each other the dignity of hearing each other's story. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, you know, to be in the world, people want to be heard. They want to be listened
to,
and they want their stories to be told. I mean, you're an interviewer who's interviewed all kinds of famous people and not famous people, but I'm sure you've noticed that everybody wants to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has a story, and, you know, I sometimes think maybe one of my roles in life is not only to write my own books. I've written three of my own, but I've written 8 or 9 books for other people, and I'm writing, you know, I have 3 or 4 that are coming out in the next year and a half, and one of them's interesting. It's a church in Chicago called Life Changers Church, a non-denominational church run by a pastor there. And his new book is called Soul Power, S-O-U-L. And it's all about how everything that happens to you in the world is starts from the inside out, not from the outside in. We're not victims. A lot of what happens is dependent upon what's going on within ourselves, you know. So that's an interesting book. And another one that's coming out is a book about a guy who grew up with very little and owned steel factories. And how did he create his empire? You know, another one that just came out is about a guy who's a drug addict who owns the largest sweet potato farm in the United States, and he wrote a cautionary tale to help kids and college students not to use drugs. Another book that was really interesting is written by Dr. Josh Wagner. I worked on this one, and that one is called You Deserve It. It's about the idea that what you get in life is so often dependent upon if you feel entitled to it. If you feel you deserve something, you're more likely to get it. Isn't that an interesting idea?
Yes. Yeah, I think it's great. It's funny, though, you mentioned that what the name of the book is, The Soul What?
It's called Soul Power.
Soul Power. Just yesterday, I don't know, would you mind indulging me for 1 minute about me, if you don't mind?
Oh, please, I've said enough.
No, I'm loving talking to you. I hope you'll come on my show with more frequency. I just happened to write this April 20th, which was yesterday, Soul Collector. It's very short and simple. Now, I don't know if you're Jewish or you believe in Jesus or what so it's not meant to alienate anybody, but just this, yesterday, I woke up in the night and I had this name, Soul Collector. So I wrote this yesterday morning before I did my show. You might meet him in your darkness when you're stumbling in lack of light. Somehow you walked in the wrong door. You're isolated in a lonesome night. Looking down in utter despair, a whisper says, look up. It's time to surrender. Haven't you had quite enough? Your ways delivered your feet here to this empty, desolate place. Perhaps you are broken enough now to humbly ask for mercy and grace. A shriveled seed's darkest hour, at its greatest moment of death, suddenly a shoot springs forth, and God breathes into that life's breath. There is a time to change your path. Call out to the greatest prospector. He sees the gold in your soul, Jesus, the loving soul collector.
Wow, who wrote that?
I wrote that yesterday. And why I wrote it is because I understand that the suicide rate among young males, 14 to 18, is five times higher than that of females right now. And they're saying because men, young men, are feeling alone.
Oh, there's a world of pain. We talk about that in this book called Soul Power, that people are in physical pain. They're in emotional pain. Teenage suicides are high. Social media doesn't help, you know. And it's tragic. So, you know, I think people are at their most vulnerable when they are teenagers into their early 20s.
I remember I had a friend of mine in Albany, and we used to hang out. There were five guys. We used to have beers together. I was never much of a beer drinker, but we have beer and play pool or whatever it was. Anyway, all of a sudden I said, hey, where's what's his name? And they said, oh, he killed himself last week. Why? Well, he had feelings of homosexuality. I thought, oh, no, you know, like... You know, people need to talk and understand, you know, we need to accept and love people no matter where they are, what they are, unconditionally, just like God. And even if you're doing something you might think is sin or not sin or whatever, I think God is the God of love, and we need to love each other. And I just, if I can save one life, you know, that's like this, you know, what's good about this, what you do for a living is great, because I told you I was a kid and there was alcoholism and stuff, and I ended up living in a rooming house at 14 all by myself. I tell you what, somebody though told me, they said, read its power, read. And so it changed my life by reading. And no matter what you read, just read. I love it when these kids read. And that's what you're doing. You're putting out these interesting stories and books. And if people read, they will grow and they will succeed if they read. Hey, that's a good line, isn't it? You will succeed if you read.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well, you're right. I mean, people throughout the centuries, of course, have you know, been inspired and comforted by books, and now it's not just reading books. You can listen to books. You know, it's an interactive thing you can do. You hardly have to read nowadays.
But what you're doing by doing all these interviews and these books, you're bringing these things out of the darkness and into the light and revealing things about people we might not know otherwise. And that's a real, not only a great opportunity, but it's a great calling that you literally have on your life to reveal these important things about people. I want to ask you this. So what are the threads, like I said before, I've noticed there's a great humility and kindness with the very, very, very successful and famous people I've met, mostly, 99% of them really are tender-hearted people. Did you find that to be true?
Yes, I would say so. I have interviewed, many movie stars and, all kinds of people. And most of the time, people are very down to earth. They're just people when you meet them. Occasionally, there's a bigger ego or a greater defense mechanism of some kind. I find humor works a lot. Like if you meet somebody, never start with direct questions. Sometimes I would, if I knew what they liked, I would bring them something. Like Paul Newman, I brought him some of my grandmother's cookies because I knew he liked food. Leona Helmsley, I brought a framed picture of herself.
That's great.
That was funny. When I went to the White House, I brought Mrs. Reagan some cookies. Mm-hmm. I would often bring something that I thought they might like. Sometimes I'd bring a copy of one of my own books if I thought they would be interested in it. Anything to break the ice and make them feel comfortable. And it's not a manipulation. It's just a human. You're trying to establish a whole relationship within a two-hour period. You know, an interview has a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Mm-hmm.
And if they say, well, you'll have an hour, well, you have to know that within 1 hour, you have to get it all done. If you're lucky, they'll say, well, you have 2 hours. So most of my interviews went on for about an hour and a half to 2 hours, I would say. And some of the extended ones went on for many more.
Did you record or did you just take notes?
No, they're all recorded.
Oh, good.
In fact, this is a funny story. Universal Pictures is bringing out a new documentary film about Audrey Hepburn, the actress.
Yes.
And I interviewed her in Switzerland in 1987 over lunch. And it went on for 3 hours. Well, I haven't, you know, this was printed in Us magazine in 1987. That's a long time ago. Well, the company, Universal Pictures, called and said, do you by any chance have the tape recording? Because it was one of the last interviews she ever did.
Oh, my word. They're using it in the film.
Yeah, and I have the whole recording here.
Oh, that's great, man.
I have all the recordings from Mrs. Reagan and Elizabeth Taylor to Dolly Parton and Barbara Walters.
Uh-oh, you shouldn't have told me that. You realize now you got to come down with your recordings. We got to spend a week playing these on the radio, man.
This may sound strange, but I was recently thinking of instead of creating a new podcast, I would create an historic podcast, and you could hear all these conversations with the movie stars with fresh commentary, you know?
Yeah, I got those, too. I got cassettes and CDs back 25 years with presidents. And maybe we could put them together and start one, and we could invite other people that have recordings, too. That'd be a great thing, a historic podcast, and have a network, or collectively we could draw a lot of attention by all working together. But that's something for the future. One thing, I would be remiss if I didn't ask. We've only got a minute and a half left. So, and this is going to be conjecture on your part. Do you think that Donald Trump is an honest, forthright human being?
Oh, talk about a loaded question, right? Oh, I couldn't answer that. I always liked him when I knew him. He was always very direct with me. And I think if there's one thing about Donald Trump, he reveals himself honestly because he doesn't hide behind a facade. I mean, what he says in the moment, he believes.
Sure. What he said. All right, listen. So will you come back again in the near future?
Oh, I hope so. It was great fun today. Thank you.
Wonderful. Glenn Plaskin, what's your website?
It's ghostwriteyourbook.com.
Ghostwriteyourbook.com. I hope you enjoyed yourself as much as I have. Say hi to Howie Schaefer, and thank you very much, Glenn.
Oh, it was a great time. Thank you again.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
We got to take a little break. We're going to be back. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Palm Coast Development Corporation, building to a higher standard. Palm Coast Development Corporation, the McNally family.
Hi, my name is Dr. Jeff Stepanek. I'm a chiropractor, and I help people like you get relief from living in pain. I love helping people like you. So I have an introductory offer that makes your first visit very affordable. For $25, you will receive a full examination, x-rays if necessary. Your first treatment would be included, and a full report on your findings. You'll love our staff, and they'll love you. The name of the office is Sebastian Chiropractic, and the phone number is 772-388-1148. That's 772-388-1148.
Hello, everybody. It's Beth Walsh Stewart talking to you for Countryside Citrus, Countryside Family Farms. During this health crisis, we've developed some comfort food.